This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Jonathan Goldstein, host of Wiretap. Each week you're invited to listen in on my telephone conversations, whether funny, sad, wistful, or even slightly strange. The show is guaranteed to keep you entranced. From arguing with my ex-girlfriends to counseling friends, you never know just what you might hear on Wiretap. See what I mean? Embrace the unexpected on Wiretap.
The sudden death of thousands of songbirds last weekend near Irving Canaport's gas stacks was shocking but not unpredictable, according to a biologist who studied the effects of offshore oil rig flares on seabirds. September is peak migration time for the songbirds, which nest in Canada before heading to Mexico and Central and South America for the winter. Many travel at night. It appears that the migrating songbirds, some of them likely at risk or endangered species, were drawn to the flame in the thick fog of last Friday night. Although it's impossible to get a precise count, it's estimated at least 7,500 were killed by the intense heat. Bill Montevecchi is a biology research professor at Memorial University in St. John's, Newfoundland, and he joins us on the line from St. John's now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
First off, what was your initial impression when you heard about the news?
Well, I think probably like most people, it's a tragedy. I mean, you can't help but feel bad about it when you see that much mortality at one point in time. So it's obviously a bad feeling. Yeah.
What do you figure happened to these birds?
Well, I think I've just read some of the news that's been coming out of CBC from down there, and I think you guys have a pretty good handle on it. I read what Don McCaskill said, and, these things, they're episodic, but, if there's ever going to be a red alert time, it's fall, and if there's ever going to be a, extreme red alert time, it's fall, it's a fog, low cloud cover night, and that combination of things came together for you on that on Friday, and it also came together that there happened to be these nocturnal migrants coming over, and there you go. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to deal with. It's going to happen, and it's very difficult. And I think what we might want to try to grapple with is how we can minimize these things and how we can possibly prevent them, and that's not easy.
Well, as you mentioned, it happened tonight. What do we know about how birds navigate?
Well, I'm sure they use a lot of stellar navigation and probably lunar navigation. They use a lot of things, but birds really get particularly confused. It's so funny. We've changed the night ecology of our planet so much. I mean, so many of these nocturnal birds migrate along the coast, and we've completely lit up the coasts, with our human habitation and cities and we've actually changed, what is actually a nocturnal ecosystem with the artificial light that we've introduced into it. So those are the things, it's those high rises with lights, the towers, the lighted structures along the coast, the lighted structures at sea that really disorient nocturnal animals, and particularly animals like birds that are so visual and move over such extraordinary distances from where they breed to where they spend the winter.
Your research is focused on the offshore rigs and seabirds. What have you found about the incidence of this kind of thing happening there?
Well, it's very difficult. We can't get the access that we'd like to get on those offshore platforms. That's been a problem for us right from the get-go. It's extremely difficult. But we do know, as you know now from this event, we know that this is the critical time. So it's possible to make recommendations to at least get, one, a handle on the mortality and the frequency of the events. And that takes it really takes extreme sort of monitoring protocols where to capture events that are episodic, that are really very difficult to predict. You have to have a monitoring program that's there, pretty much 24/7. And that just means you have to have observers, independent observers, picking up on that kind of information. And that's very difficult. And it hasn't been made any easier, I have to tell you. It hasn't been made any easier by cooperation from regulatory agencies or from oil companies. So you can't always, from my perspective, do what's the best thing to do.
What do you mean it hasn't been made easier?
Well, you know, we don't have independent observers on our offshore platforms. You know, it hasn't been made. We've made those recommendations, to, you know, to regulatory bodies, to, you know, here it's the CNLOPB for you. You know, you've got... you know, you've got a different regulatory agency in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, and you know, it's a matter of getting people there, people that are arm's length from those things, that are independent. So you know, there's some coverage by government biologists and stuff, and that's to be welcomed, and there's some from universities, but there's simply not enough. And there are ways, I think there are potential ways to help to minimize these kind of events as well.
Such as what?
Such as, apparently these flares have to be refit periodically, you know, closed down, cleaned up, whatever you have to do when you do a refit. And since we know when the most critical time is, you know, if somehow that could be integrated with production schedules, and, you know, the flares are obviously safety mechanisms, then, in fact, you know, maybe shutdowns or less flaring could occur during these key migratory periods, such as September and October.
So chances are a week either way, and these birds might likely have been alive.
Well, you know, it's hard to know, you know, because it's hard to know because it's hard to predict those migratory chronologies exactly. But we do know, you know, September's peak time in the offshore for nocturnal seabirds. We know it's, you know, it's peak time for birds moving along the coast. So, you know, I don't know if we could pin it down to a couple of weeks, but, you know, it could be true that, you know, a week here and a week there is going to make some difference. But I think if we have an awareness, and I don't know how, you know, obviously flares, as was indicated for the one in New Brunswick, that flare is going to be going down. You know, it's not going to be as bright because of apparently, you know, technological improvements with it. So those are always possibilities. And I don't know what the turnaround time is and what the safety aspect of it is for being able to perhaps, you know, tamp those things down or potentially turn them off during once an event like that starts. It probably takes too much time to be able to do that, but it's something that we certainly should explore.
You've made recommendations like this in the past and what, just fell on deaf ears?
Well, yeah, we haven't had, yes. Yes is the answer to your question. I mean, I could go on about that, but yes.
Go on, please.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, when we look to regulate anything, we have to look to government regulators. And, you know, and you know, you have to have regulators that, in fact, are independent of the industries that they regulate. So when we here have to deal with an offshore petroleum board that, you know, is integrated for, you know, their development as well as for their, you know, environmental protection, there's inherent conflicts in any structure like that. And those inherent conflicts are incredibly difficult to get past. And so when you make recommendations like that and you have an inherently conflicted regulatory body, they're not necessarily going to be taken forward in the ways that might be the best, you know, the best environmental decision to be made.
But how difficult would it be to put a monitoring system in place like you suggest, or,
well, you know,
schedule shutdowns during peak migration periods?
Yeah, you know, and that's a great suggestion, and there have been some, you know, there have been some opportunities where people have, you know, they've tried to radar things around the rigs and things, or doing that on an exploratory basis, and it's very difficult. They're very big, but there are ways to approach it. That would be one. My preference is always to have independent observers. I always want to have that. You know, and we're in a situation, the one you're describing in New Brunswick, I mean, obviously there are people on site, and maybe some people would have seen this while it was happening, because when you look at the composition of species that came in there, my guess is that you've got, it was probably multiple flocks that were attracted that night, and maybe some being attracted to the others. But a lot of those birds, I'm not sure that they would even be traveling together, you know, and, you know, maybe up there in the night sky. So, you know, maybe if there were observers and people picked up on it early on and there was some way, I don't know, to tamp down the flare, or, you know, I don't know how long it takes to turn those things off. My guess is an extremely long time. But we have to think about those things, you know, and we're, You know, in so many of these situations, we're moving away from flaring. You know, gases are getting re-injected in the offshore. So a lot of those flares can just, you know, probably go the way of the locomotive eventually. And it's something we have to think about because we're just putting so much artificial light in the night skies. We're just, you know, completely moving animals around in ways that they wouldn't normally move, for sure.
So is this, in the end, just a truly tragic story, or is there responsibility to be taken here? The oil companies, the government?
Yeah, you know, I always think there's responsibility because, look, we make money from that oil and, you know, and we put those stacks there. And so this, you know, and so people can say, and I know people will say and have said, well, you know, it's a drop in the bucket for the number of birds out there. But, you know, it's an unnecessary drop in the bucket, you know, and if we have ways to minimize those drops in the bucket, we should do it, because if we don't, that bucket's eventually going to fill up. So I think what we want to do is, you know, is to ask, you know, to work with government to really ramp up the regulation on these things and really tighten it up so that, in fact, we are more likely to, you know, to look at ways to minimize this rather than, you know, sort of just be wringing our hands after it happens.
So then it comes around to, what will it take for people to take it seriously?
Well, I think people are taking it seriously. I really hope that. I think the CW, Canadian Wildlife Service, is taking it seriously. The interviews I've read that you guys have been pushing in the media that's coming out of New Brunswick, I hope people are taking it seriously. And sometimes, because birds are such a endearing, have such an endearing quality to people, that it's often this is the way that things do get taken seriously. So it's time, you know. There's no question, Paul. It's time to take things seriously, it's upon us right now. So people should put their heads together and figure out how to keep this to an absolute minimum, or avoid it altogether if we were lucky.
Well, I appreciate your insight. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the call, and all the best. I look forward to seeing what else develops with the story there.
As do we. Thanks, so. Bye-bye.
Okay, all the best. Yep, bye.
Bill Montevecchi is a biology research professor at Memorial University in St. John's, Newfoundland. The bird kill at Cannaport is being investigated by the Canadian Wildlife Service in Sackville. Charges could be laid under the Migratory Birds Convention Act, or the Species at Risk Act. Our call to the Sackville office this morning was returned by a federal government media officer in Hull, Quebec. We were told all requests for interviews or information must first be cleared by media relations. Just about an hour ago, we received an email from the communications branch of Environment Canada in Hull, and it reads, Environment Canada is aware of the incident that occurred at the Cannaport LNG terminal in St. John this past weekend. Environment Canada is committed to the conservation and protection of migratory birds. Wildlife officials and enforcement officers are on site assessing the situation, and as this is currently under investigation, it would be inappropriate to comment further at this time. So that's all we're going to get, I guess. If there's anything you'd like to say, though, about what you've heard, you can give our talkback line a call. Our number is 1-855-SHIFT-NB. Or you can email us at shiftnb@cbc.ca.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.